Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Yes, it's time for Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to our friends at Waipapa Taumātoro, the University of Auckland. Today, we've got a special guest on the line. We've got Dr. Madeline Schelling on air. Morena.
Kia ora, how are you?
Yeah, morena. Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Thank you so much for making the time for our little kōrero. Your research sounds absolutely fascinating. Sort of all in the realm of Māori health and talking a little bit about food insecurity experienced by Māori, eh?
Yes, yep.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to this research, maybe a bit about your academic background.
I think my passion for food security has always been there, but I really kind of zeroed in on looking at Māori food insecurity when I went to do my honours in Te Araroa, where my whānau are from. And the East Cape was, Te Tairāwhiti was so interesting because even though they are so seen as so highly deprived on some of our maps that we have, and they actually didn't consider themselves food insecure at all. My auntie had a fridge full of kōra and pāua and wild pork that had just been dropped off by the local hunter, and, you know, they just had such an abundance of food, and so I just realised that there's such a mismatch between the real life experience and the data that we were seeing. So I just was really inspired to look a bit deeper into what is the reality for Māori in terms of food insecurity.
Because I guess there's a couple of different ways you could approach this, right? Like there's the how we sort of measure, like you're saying, how we measure food security or insecurity is sort of like based around our Western ideals of health a lot of the time.
Yeah, and it's also really heavily focused on income. So the main measure that we've been using in Aotearoa is based on a US model that has been criticised around the world. I mean, it's good for generalizability and kind of consistent data sets, but it's been criticised for use in populations Black Indigenous people who don't have the typical kind of capitalist supermarket wage income kind of food system. So and there was a real inspiration from a lot of international Indigenous people who have adapted their food security assessment tools for the Indigenous context, and that's something that I really wanted to do for Aotearoa.
Do you think there's still a lot about the ways that we see, you know, traditional Māori kai as quite, like, colonised?
Yeah, and that's a really interesting thing, kind of aspect that I've been looking into and don't really have any answers, but for some things, because there's some foods that I believe are, pre-colonial traditional, mm-hmm. and then there's some that have become traditional through either adaptation or adoption of these foods, you know, for example, kamokamo, pumpkin, and other foods that we've kind of adopted that are good, and then some foods that were adopted kind of out of necessity for survival, so foods that were the cheapest that Māori could access. One of my participants in this research talked about how he would go to the butcher to ask for dog bones, and so pork bones in his family became traditional in a way, and yet that wasn't a preferred food, it was just all that was that their farmer could access. So there's a really interesting kind of dynamic between what is truly traditional, what is adopted, what is good that we've adopted, and what is not so good for our whole order that we've adopted.
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting kōrero at the moment, it feels like, around kai sovereignty. I don't know if this is something that you feel has become more and more talked about or has sort of always been there and is becoming a bit more mainstream, the discourse around this, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how that sort of overlaps with food insecurity and security.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's very important to make the distinction that they're two different concepts, but for many of the international Indigenous writers, they say that food security is a precondition for Indigenous food sovereignty. So they really, really overlap, in terms of some of their priorities when you're looking at it from an Indigenous lens.
Mm.
I've chosen to focus on food security because if you try to encapsulate both, then sometimes it can get a little vague, but I try to make very clear in my research that when I am talking about Indigenous food security, that Kai sovereignty is a really central part of that. So, yeah, I don't see them as separate. Even though they're different concepts, I don't see them as not intertwined.
For sure. So what's the next sort of steps for your research and where you're at with things?
I'm very excited about this year. So this year I'll hopefully be running a whole lot of focus groups across the motu that are asking Māori what would be the best questions that we could have in a survey or a questionnaire that would reflect Māori food systems, that would enable us to get better data about what Māori are eating, wanting to eat, the knowledge that they want or have about kai, so that we can create a food security assessment tool that really reflects Māori realities, Māori aspirations for kai sovereignty, Māori traditions, values, mātauranga, all of those things. So, yeah, that's going to be a really fun part, is a lot of people's whakaaro and mātauranga on that aspect of food security this year.
Sounds like a huge year ahead for you, Ehoa. Thank you so much for making the time for a little kōrero about your research. So fascinating to learn what you've been up to and a bit about your mahi.
No worries. Thank you for asking me.
All right. You have an awesome rest of your day and best of luck with the year ahead.
Thank you. Kia pai tōra.
Ka kite.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.